Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Emily Douglas, web editor at The Nation, and I'm here with Mike Consol, a blogger and a fellow at the Roosevelt Institute, who joined us today to talk about his new piece on thenation.com about income inequality, where it comes from, and what the government can and should do about it. We asked Mike to write this piece shortly after the Congressional Budget Office released a study showing that, surprise, surprise, the top 1% of earners more than doubled their share of the nation's income over the past 30 years. One thing I really like about your piece, Mike, is that you make the point that there's nothing about markets that is natural. In other words, markets are set up in certain ways to work better or worse for consumers and workers and CEOs. Can you tell us about some of the rules of the marketplace that have changed in the past 30 years to advantage the wealthy at the expense of ordinary workers?
Well, sure. So, the law sets up things like property and the way people can exchange things. So, take one form of property, intellectual property, or stuff associated with patents. We've seen the number of patents skyrocket. And we've seen a lot of, incumbent firms that are well-established, really try to lock down their products so people can't compete. And, when you look at that internationally, that drives a lot of income upward. And this continues into a lot of other realms. A lot of the real rise of the 1% is about CEOs of large corporations. And the way boards are set up, the way CEOs are held accountable, has to do with the way we set up our security laws and stock markets. I've seen a huge amount of movement in financial deregulation, which also kicks a lot of money to the financial sector. And it's not just about the 1%. It's also about regular workers. There's been a lot of work that shows that deunionization, especially for men, and the fact that the minimum wage hasn't kept up in the past 30 years, especially for women, have really dragged down wages at the lower and middle ends. So, it's on both sides, the ways the laws have changed in the past 30 years has really aggressively exaggerated and amplified the inequality in this country.
Tell us a bit more about those financial regulations that started to be loosened up in the late 1970s. What did they look like in the New Deal era when they were passed, and what are we missing now?
Sure. So in one sense that a lot of them were just taken apart, which created a huge ballooning financial sector. You saw huge consolidations, huge explosive growth in the top 5, top 10% of firms. There's also regulation just simply didn't keep up with new products. All these crazy mortgage-backed securities, derivatives, CDOs and CDSs and so on and so forth were thought to be these kind of, innovative things that would really benefit consumers broadly. And, they turned out to lead to a giant credit bubble that's now put us through the worst recession since the New Deal, something where, median wages have dropped 10% in the past couple of years. It's been really a brutal, and what we've seen is that as those firms ballooned and as they made all these products, their pay and income has skyrocketed. And especially if you go to the top 10th of 1%, where inequality is even greater, it's almost entirely from the financial sector. So, trying to get better rules there in place will help deal with this.
Did Dodd-Frank, the financial reform law passed last year in response to the financial crisis, do anything to reimpose those needed regulations?
It's very early to tell right now. It's a tough battle. It's passed the Congress. Now it's in the rule writing process where they're actually writing the rules that the financial sector will have to follow going forward. There's a lot of lobbying on behalf of the financial sector. It's not aggressively being pushed by the Obama administration as much as people would like in certain places. Hopefully, though, we're going to see some bracketing down of how big financial firms are. Hopefully, we're going to see the largest firms are going to have to hold more capital and be a little less crazy and risky, which will help with this inequality issue. And some of the advantages that the biggest firms have will be kind of put into, they'll have some safeguards on them so they're not abused as much as they were in the past.
Switching gears for a moment, I think a lot of us are familiar with the idea that tax policy has something to do with how equal our society is. And we probably also know that the Bush tax cuts lowered the tax rate for wealthy Americans. Can you talk about some other tax policy issues that factor into inequality?
Sure. Well, one of the most interesting things about the CBO report that started this piece was that inequality went up in every single type of income you can imagine. So there's a lot of different ways you can earn money in this country. You can work a job, which is labor performed, and you get a payroll. You could just happen to be independently wealthy, in which you would get money from investing it, which is capital gains and other types of capital income. Across the board, the top 1% take home a larger share of each of those categories, which is kind of shocking. But, you know, if it's particularly a good time to be a capital holder, if it's a good time to be in the stock market, if it's a good time to be the CEO, it sort of makes sense. Now, those incomes are taxed at different rates, and the ones that are taxed, the ones that are most favorable to wealth are taxed much less, which is why you see things like Warren Buffett's secretary pays a higher rate than Warren Buffett does, which is the famous rule on that one. But also, you know, if Warren Buffett just inherited his wealth, he would certainly pay less in taxes. And that continues down the line.
So on the other end, once the government has collected taxpayer money, there are more and less redistributive ways to spend that money. In other words, not all government benefits are created equal.
Right. So a lot of what the CBO found is that a lot more of what we spend our money on goes to Social Security, which with an aging population makes perfect sense, but that tends to go to middle class people because it's partially how much you pay. So, you know, that has somewhat not, it has done less work flattening inequality than we're used to seeing. On the other hand, you know, we have a very leaky social safety net. A lot of it's done through work, which requires you to have a job. A lot of it's done through the tax code, which requires you to, which is most beneficial if you pay a lot in taxes and hire tax, you know, attorneys and whatnot. So there's a lot of space with how we spend money through the government that could really patch up a lot of that and really, you know, help people who are in the bottom 10, 20, 50% who are, you know, really being left behind in the economy.
When you say a lot of the safety net is tied to work, do you mean, for example, unemployment benefits where you can obtain them if you, you know, lost your job, but if you hadn't had one for a long time or never did, they're not accessible to you?
Absolutely, yeah. For many, many things, the private social safety net has been very expansive, right? So healthcare, retirement benefits, you know, pensions and whatnot. You know, a lot of that's tied through people who are working. And, you know, right now, especially right now, you know, 9%+ unemployment, you know, a lot of those benefits are disappearing, where if they were given directly through the government, they could still be active.
Mm-hmm. So let's end with some prognostication. From overhauling the tax code to better regulation of the financial industry to redirecting government expenditures, what have President Obama and other prominent Democrats endorsed, if any of these, and which do you think has any chance of becoming reality?
So this might be a bit of a cop-out, but we do have to understand this is a generational project. It took 30 years for inequality to become this much of a problem. It's going to take a while for it to actually get the ideas and then the solutions in play that fight it. The most encouraging things are the things here that the 1% does that impact the 10%, because politicians are still listening to people at the 10% level. So patent law, for instance, is a big political fight right now because a lot of business leaders are impacted by it. So that's something that's of interest. We're hopefully going to see some movement on taxes. The question is how much is traded off and what's cut, and that's very worrisome. You know, letting the Bush tax cuts expire, closing some of the gaps in the way taxes are paid, like the Buffett rule that's been proposed, would go a great deal to start getting the ball rolling and towards a more equitable and egalitarian society.
Thank you so much for coming in, Mike.
No, thanks for having me.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.